Now it is time for our brother Jeff to give us some words from the scriptures. Brother Jeff.
Good morning. Good to see you all this morning. Just let me get the right angle here. I love it when I don't pick hymns and they always kind of line up anyway with the theme. Because we are going to consider the subject of slavery and the sin that we're slaves to, but the freedom that we have in Christ. And probably a better order to have things in there. And really, out of the Timothy reading this morning, in verse 11 it says, if we died with him, then we also live with him. And that's part of what I'd like us to think about is dying to that old man. Dying to the old man and living for Christ. And one of the things that I like to get into is actually the law in Deuteronomy. Because now we have Israel going into the promised land with Joshua. But they're still under the law of Moses. And yet I think we can see how this points to Christ. And this helps us. They had helps in the law, and one of the things in the law that was supposed to be a help to them and a remembrance is something I'd like to talk about. And it's in Deuteronomy 22, verse 12. But while you're looking up Deuteronomy 22, verse 12, just think for a minute about human nature. About our tendency to lean towards sin and where that gets us, because we had about a month ago a reading in Acts about Ananias and Sapphira. And you probably remember that story. It's one that's hard to forget, because when Ananias comes in and tells the lie before Paul about this is all of the proceeds from the sale of my property that I would like to give, and he asked him, is this all? And he says yes. He drops dead right before Paul, or not Paul, Peter. And that's repeated when his wife Sapphira unknowingly comes in and confirms the lie to Peter and also drops dead. And why is it that the sale of a piece of land and having to give it all was something so important that they died for it? Well, it wasn't really that, was it? It was the lie. It was the lie because the lie helped them to look better. And it was their pride. Their pride. And it was their downfall. And I'd ask myself, how many times have I done something just because it was the thing that looked best to everyone else? The thing is, our hearts can be very deceiving, and we can convince ourselves that no, it's not for those reasons. It's really for these good reasons over here that I'm doing the thing that is right. And when in fact, if we really look deep, maybe there's just a little bit of pride in there as well. And so what was the solution? Well, in the Old Testament, if you're in Deuteronomy 22 now, there's this interesting little verse in verse 12. And there's all sorts of laws that you could pick on in this chapter, and various laws. But the one that stood out to me was this one in verse 12 that says, "You shall make yourself tassels on the four corners of the garment with which you cover yourself." And it's interesting because even today we find that traditional Jewish people actually do this. And even men going off to war and serving the country of Israel will have these little garments with the little tassels coming out of the bottom. You might have seen a picture of it. Hopefully you have, and you know what I'm talking about. Because I can't put a picture up above me. Hopefully that's descriptive enough. You know what a tassel is? And so they were supposed to hang these little tassels on the borders of the garments or in the four corners of the garment, depending on which passage you look at, because there's one in Numbers that we'll go to shortly as well that also talks about this particular law. And the context of that is really important. This one talks about the tassels on the four corners specifically. But if you look at the word, it's not actually clear whether it's four corners or the borders. So the point I'm trying to make, though, isn't so much the exact arrangement of the tassels as much as it was supposed to be a reminder for something. And what was it a reminder of? Well, there were so many things that they were asked to do, the people of Israel were asked to do, and so many things that were supposed to help them, not just to keep the letter of the law, but to remember that God had brought them out of sin, had brought them out of Egypt to something better. And what do we have in Matthew 23? Come over to Matthew 23 for a moment. Again, we have a chapter where Jesus is talking to the crowds and to his disciples. And then he begins to speak about the teachers of the law and the Jewish leaders, particularly the Pharisees in verse 2. The Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. "So you must obey them and do everything they tell you. But do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach." Excuse me. "So you must obey them and do everything they tell you, but do," pardon me, I already read verse 3, didn't I? "For they do not practice what they preach. They tie up heavy loads and put them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them." And here it is in verse 5. I'll clear that frog out here. "Everything they do is done for men to see." And isn't that what Ananias and Sapphira had done? They had done everything because they wanted men to see that they had given everything, when in fact they hadn't. They'd kept back a portion for themselves. And that was the lie, wasn't it? they make their phylacteries wide and the tassels on their garments long. So then you might think, okay, well, so they have long tassels. Why is this a problem? And why is Jesus criticizing the Jewish leaders for long tassels? Well, and I think it's because they were long, because they wanted everyone to notice that they had really long tassels on their garments, because they were keeping the letter of the law, and everyone needed to see that they were keeping it. So long tassels means more righteous. That was possibly what Jesus is talking about here, because the law comes from from Deuteronomy and also in Numbers. And we're going to see in Numbers how this makes a lot of sense. Now, what were they after? Well, we already know because Jesus said it right here. Obey them and do everything they tell you, but don't do what they do. Why? They do not practice what they preach. So they're not doing anything for the right reason. They're keeping the law because they want everyone to see that they keep the law, when in fact, they're not keeping the law in their hearts. They're keeping back a portion for themselves, as Ananias and Sapphira had done. So, why specifically this law? Well, I think this is a very interesting law. Let's go to Numbers. I've mentioned it a couple of times already. Numbers 15. Numbers 15, and here we begin to understand what the reasoning of this law was, what they were supposed to take out of it. Why these tassels on the garments at all? Why was this important? Verse 37 of Numbers 15. The Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the Israelites and say to them, throughout the generations to come, you are to make tassels on the corners of your garments, with a blue cord on each tassel. You will have these tassels to look at, and so you will remember all the commands of the Lord that you may obey them and not prostitute yourselves by going after the lusts of your own hearts and eyes. Then you will remember to obey all my commands and will be consecrated to your God. I am the Lord your God who did what? Brought you out of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God." So they were, by these tassels, to remember not to follow their own hearts, but to follow God's laws, and to remember where they came from and what they came out of. That they came out of Egypt. They came out of a place where there was no knowledge or understanding of who God was and what his purpose was, and what he had in store for those who would follow him with all their heart and their soul and all their might. Tassels on the garments. So what are our tassels? What's supposed to remind us every day of our priorities? And maybe we could have something physical, I don't know. Or maybe it's a verse that we remember every morning when we get up. Maybe it's something that we do in the afternoon. Maybe it's our daily readings that are our tassels. There are many things that can be tassels, reminders that it's God's law we have in our hearts, not our own desires, that we have to crucify the old man. Put him to death to live with Christ. What are our tassels? And are we worried about how long they are so everyone can see them? Or do they serve the purpose that they're supposed to? Now, actually, the word for tassels, just so you know, is actually different in this verse here in Numbers from the one in Deuteronomy. I couldn't really find that there was any real difference in the definition of the Hebrew word. It's simply two different words that are used to say the same thing. But if anyone has any other thoughts on that, by all means, come to me after. It does talk here about, in depending on the version, borders instead of corners. But again, it's not so much about exactly how they were done, but about what they were supposed to represent, what they were supposed to mean. and that the Jewish leaders used it as a way to show themselves as better, to show themselves as righteous, to do things before men, to be seen of men, as Christ put it. And so, was it a serious thing? Well, very serious, because breaking the law of God, we can see in Numbers, if we go back a little bit in chapter 15, was something that deserved stoning to death. And there's all sorts of laws that we can go and go and look at, but it's interesting that this particular law about the tassels is in the context just following the sin of the Sabbath breaker. So, if you don't remember, just go up to verse 32. And verse 32 says, well, the people of Israel were in the wilderness. They found a man gathering sticks on the Sabbath day. And then come down to verse 35. What happened as a result? The Lord said to Moses, the man shall be put to death, and all the congregation shall stone him with stones outside the camp. And, you know, a sin is a sin, and we all deserve to die for a sin that we have committed. But I always wondered why was it that someone gathering sticks was put to death? On the Sabbath day, he was gathering sticks. And I do have a bit of a suggestion, because if you look at this word for sticks in the Hebrew, the way it looks, it seems like if your kids were out gathering some sticks and wanted to play with them, they would suffer the same consequence. But that's not what God's looking for. He's not worried about people just grabbing a stick off the ground. What was the actual intent of the Sabbath day? It was to remember him. And to remember, so this is in line with the tassels, where they came from and who they were supposed to be dedicated to. Not to their own desires, but to God's law and his purpose, because his law and purpose brings life. And so, what is this about sticks? Well, if you look at the word, it seems to indicate that the word is not just a bunch of little tiny sticks on the ground that he was gathering. It's actually a large trunk. Refers to a large piece of wood or lumber, you might say. And specifically, the type of lumber that would be used for carpentry or construction. So this is a bit of a different picture that it paints. If someone is out there gathering lumber, then it sounds like he's doing a job. Maybe he was a woodworker. And you might think, well, if they're in the desert, they're not going to find a lot of lumber, so you might want to take advantage of every little bit of lumber you might find or trees that you might find in the area. So you can understand why he might go on the Sabbath day and say, well, I better take advantage of this because it's my livelihood. But it was a Sabbath day. And they were to do no work. They weren't to be working for themselves. Their focus was to be on God and his work with them. And I think that is where this man went wrong. My suggestion is that he was doing his work on the Sabbath day, his daily work. And that he didn't really need to gather on the Sabbath day, but decided that he would ignore this law just for this time, and unfortunately suffered the consequence. He worked for himself instead of for God. And then, after this, we see this in Numbers about the tassels and the garments, to be reminded that it's not about us, it's about following God. To remember where we came from and what he's done for us to bring us out of it. And what is a life dedicated to God? Come over to Deuteronomy 15. And these are all things that the people now coming out of Egypt and going into the land with Joshua would have in their memories as well, would have been taught. Deuteronomy 15. And going in at verse 12. And really this is in the context of I'm in chapter 15. No wonder it doesn't look right. Chapter 12. 15. This is about the Sabbath year. Or the seventh year. And this is about canceling debts, as it talks about at the beginning of the chapter. So every 7 years, debts were canceled, slaves were freed, and when we particularly go to the section about freeing of the slaves, that starts in verse 12. And it talks about a fellow Hebrew slave. If a fellow Hebrew, a man or woman, sells himself to you and serves you 6 years, in the seventh year you must let him go free. And when you release him, do not send him away empty-handed. Supply him liberally from your flock, your threshing floor, and your winepress. Give to him as the Lord your God has blessed you. Remember, here we are again, the tassels. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you. This is why I give you this command today. So it was a poignant reminder to them that they were slaves and they are freed by God from this slavery. The only reason that they are not under the whip of the Egyptian is because God brought them out of Egypt. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt. The Lord your God has redeemed you. This is why I give you this command today. Verse 16. But if your servant says to you, I do not want to leave you because he loves you and your family is well off with you, and then take an awl and push it through his earlobe into the door and he will become your servant for life. Do the same for your maidservant. And do not consider it a hardship to set your servant free, because his service to you these 6 years has been worth twice as much of that of a hired hand, and the Lord your God will bless you in everything you do. So imagine that. The kind of master who says, go free, and you say, well, no, actually I don't want to. I'd rather stay with you and be your servant. And we know that that's exactly what we've been called to do. Called out of the slavery of Egypt, that we might serve the Lord our God with all our heart and our soul and all our might. We are free to do what we like, whatever our hearts desire. But if we choose to serve God, there is a life. There is hope. Ephesians 6, Ephesians 6 puts it this way. When Paul was writing to the Ephesians. Oops. And in verse 5. And remember, Paul is living in the context of Rome, and slavery in Rome was no small thing. It was I don't think we can even imagine what being a slave might have been like in the time of Rome. We can read about it, perhaps, but imagine being lower than an animal, being sold on a line of people, treated as less than human. The treatment of slaves, suffice it to say, without getting into any details, which you can certainly look up, was just horrifying. And yet, Paul says this about slaves and masters in Ephesians 6, verse 5. Bondservants, obey your earthly masters. And how that must have been difficult for many. With fear and trembling, with a sincere heart as you would Christ, as if your master were Christ. And in fact, he is our master. Not by the way of eye service, as we are reading in Matthew 23, of the Pharisees, or as Ananias and Sapphira, but as people pleaser, pardon me, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with goodwill as to the Lord and not to man. And when we're serving to God, it doesn't matter in a way the master, who the master is. Because really, our master, in the end, is always God. It is our Lord Jesus Christ. Knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a bondservant or free. Masters do the same to them. And of course, he's talking to masters who are also servants of Christ in this context. Masters do the same to them. And stop your threatening, knowing that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. So in this context, of course, he's writing this letter to the Ephesians. Some of the brothers were masters and some were slaves, and they had to treat each other with respect that a brother in Christ deserved. Not as was the custom of the day in their treatment of masters and slaves. So, the type of master that loved Christ loves his servants, treats them well. And I imagine that the tassels were part of a reminder of how one needed to treat their servants because of how God had treated them when they were slaves and how he has treated each one of us as we were slaves to sin and destined for death. And it had to be something that really, what's the word? Stabbed them into the memory and really twigged something hard. When they had these tassels and they remembered, don't think about yourself. Are you putting in action what God has asked you to do? Or are you just doing it because you want to? How can I show that I am holy to God and not serving my own desire. And if God saved me out of slavery in Egypt, how should I treat my brother? And all of these things might have been going through someone's mind, could be going through our minds, as we think about these tassels, these reminders. And what are they for us? Because we need reminders each and every day. We don't have tassels. The law doesn't apply to us in that way. It does apply to us in the way that we need tassels, not physical ones, but spiritual ones that spur us on. It's part of why we're here today. All of these things bring us forward to Christ. Come to Romans 5, just two verses we know well out of Romans 5. Verse 8 and 9. Reminders of where we were brought from, out of, what we were brought from. Egypt. Sin. Our slave. Our slavery. What we were brought out of. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. And even back in Ecclesiastes, if you come to Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 20, because remember, our hearts fool us. We think that we're doing something for the right reasons, and maybe we just need to look a bit deeper. Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 20 says, surely there is not a righteous man on earth who does good and never sins. And then verse 29. See, this alone I found, that God made man upright, but they have sought out many schemes. And that's what happens when we let our own desires take over and we forget. But God's given us reminders. He's given us the Word, the whole entire Word, inspired and useful for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness, for salvation. Our nature tends to take us the wrong direction. And there's not one of us that has done everything right in our lives. Only Christ. And he is our redemption. And so what is our tassel? What's our motivation? What's our reminder that we have? That we've tied on into our memory. That reminds us when maybe our hearts are taking us the wrong way. We are descendants of Egypt, but we have been adopted. And that forever, as God's children, his sons and daughters. And that's what he wanted out of his people as well. He gave them this law, and it seems harsh for a man who was picking up sticks. Well, actually, he was doing his job instead of God's job, wasn't he? He decided that his priorities were a little more important that day. Come back to Matthew 23, just to finish up. Matthew 23 in just three verses. That kind of tie this together. And just jumping in the middle in verse 10, it says, "Nor are you to be called teacher, for you have one teacher and one master, that is Christ. The greatest among you will be your servant. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted." And that's what we're being asked to do, is put to death, die with Christ, that we might live with him. And we don't give ourselves life. He gives us life. It's God that will raise us up renewed. Remembering the slavery that we were enslaved in, the sin that so easily besets us, it's humbling to think that God, as a master that loves us, wants each and every one of us to be part of his eternal plan and purpose. And that is a joy. A joy to form part of his house. That after our 7 years, we are given the opportunity to decide, well, is this the master we want to serve for life? And then yes it is. And we have our ear punched through with an awl on the door. And we know this physical requirement in the law only points forward to us. And whether we've truly taken that step in our hearts. And we all fail and need to be reminded, and need our daily reminders. And so I'll end with this verse in Romans 6. Romans 6, verse 22, which says, "But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification, and its end, eternal life."